Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, March 6, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right, one announcement before we get started. There will be a meeting for all those interested in being a part of Vacation Bible School. We're going to have Vacation Bible School this summer. There will be a meeting this Sunday following the second class in the big classroom. Anyone who is interested in being a part of Vacation Bible School this Sunday after the second class. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom that you've given to us in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have been studying this great paragraph, verses 1 through 10. We're going to pick up the corrected translation at verse 6. Therefore, we, and the we refers to the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The we refers to those who are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The we refers to those who have accomplished the ultimate objective of having virtue, love brought to completion in their heart. They are winner believers. That's the we. We, winner believers, always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house, the tent of the human body, we are out of the house of the interim body, and eventually resurrection body, away from the Lord. For we, winner believers, walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we, winner believers, are confident and courageous, I say, and for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, the human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, our interim body or resurrection body. Verse 9, for this reason also, we, winner believers, keep on having as our goal, we keep on considering it an honor whether in the house of our human body, phase two, or out of the house of our human body, phase three, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the culmination of this, verse 10, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body in accordance with those things that he has done. And that's as far as we had gotten. We're almost through the verse. We'll pick it up at the last phrase. The King James says, whether it be good or bad. This is the conditional particle AE combined with the enclitic particle TE. When you combine the two, it's ETA, and it's repeated. ETA, ETA. Plus the accusative singular of agathos, plus the accusative singular of phallos. This is classical Greek. Eta, eta. E-I-T-E. E-I-T-E. And you translate this whether or. Whether or. And then we have the noun agathos. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos. This is often translated good. It means far more than that. It's a special word. I don't even like the word good. Good is a four-letter word. So whenever anybody comes back at the kids and they say, I ask, how are you doing? They say, I'm good. I say, that's terrible. I don't want you to be good. I want you to be supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. But they can't spell that. They can spell good, see. Agathos means that which is intrinsically good. Intrinsically good. This is divine good. Divine good production in the life of the winner believer. The winner believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will have maximum divine good production. And it's intrinsically good. And it glorifies God forever and ever and ever. That's agathos. And then we have phallos. P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Phallos. And phallos means worthless. And sad to say today, but most Christians, that their life is worthless. The production in their life is worthless. It means worthless, it means bad, it means evil, it means base. Phallos is that which is produced by the believer living in Satan's cosmic system, living by the sin nature, living by the energy of the flesh, in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you live in Satan's cosmic system, the production that you produce is worthless, phallos, worthless, evil, base. So the corrected translation, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body in accordance with those things that he has done, whether intrinsically good or worthless. Well, that brings us to one of the most important doctrines for us to know and understand, and that is the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Point one is definition and description. Subpoint one, the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of evaluation. Very important. Evaluation of every church age believer. It's a time of evaluation. It is not a time of condemnation. It's a time of evaluation of every church age believer, not a time of condemnation. Two, salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. The only people there at the judgment seat of Christ are the royal family of God, church age saints, all believers from Pentecost to the rapture. Those are the only people before the judgment seat of Christ. Royal family of God, the body of Christ, the church universal. No unbelievers will be there at the judgment seat of Christ. All the people that are there are church age saints, royal family of God. So salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Three, one's eternal destiny will not be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. That's already been determined. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. I know it's a shock, but eternal life means it's eternal. And you have eternal security. Eternal life means eternal security. The gift of life of eternal life is eternal security. So one's eternal destiny will not be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. All those there are royal family of God. They have the gift of eternal life, eternal security. That's a done deal. Four, sins, personal sins will not be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Personal sins will not be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ because all of our personal sins were poured out on Jesus Christ on the cross and paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Law of double jeopardy. They will never, never, ever be brought up again. Your sins will never be brought up again. They have been paid for in full on the cross by Jesus Christ. So personal sins will not be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Because all of our sins have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ on the cross. Subpoint five. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation. Evaluation of the royal family of God, evaluation of church age saints, an evaluation of our life after salvation. From salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. But this evaluation is the evaluation of the royal family of God, church age saints, our life after salvation, after the moment of faith in Christ, until physical death or the rapture. Our God has a phenomenal grace plan for your life after salvation. And that grace plan includes the grace provision of the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life that can only be lived by the grace and the power of God. by the power of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, and by the power of the Word of God, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, 2 Peter 3:18. Subpoint 6. If we utilize God's grace and God's power to live this unique spiritual life that He has for us, then our life lived in the body is said to be agathos, intrinsically good. If we utilize God's grace and God's power to live this unique spiritual life that He has for us, then our life lived in this human body is said to be agathos, intrinsically good, maximum divine good production, the result of attaining spiritual maturity. 7. However, if we fail to live the spiritual life, but live our life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, cosmic living in Satan's cosmic system, then our life lived in the body is said to be phallos. It's worthless. However, if we fail to live the spiritual life, but live our life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, cosmic living in Satan's cosmic system, then our life lived in the body is said to be phallos, worthless. This is our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 8. The judgment seat of Christ, then, is an evaluation of the church age believer's life after salvation. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the royal family of God's life, church age saints' life after salvation, to determine whether we will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for eternity, or suffer the loss of these greater grace blessings for eternity. That's the purpose. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the church age saints, the royal family of God's life after salvation, to determine whether we will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings for eternity, and those greater grace blessings glorify God forever and ever and ever, or whether we suffer the loss of these greater grace blessings for eternity. 9. So performance is the issue, not salvation at the judgment seat of Christ. Performance is the issue at the judgment seat of Christ, not whether you have salvation or not. 10. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Eleven, the cosmic believer, the loser believer, will suffer, first of all, temporary shame, and he will lose his greater grace blessings, but he can never lose his salvation. The cosmic believer, the loser believer, will suffer temporary shame, and he will lose his greater grace blessings. But he can never lose his salvation. That's definition and description of the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, point two. The judgment seat of Christ means there is no equality in heaven among believers. The judgment seat of Christ means there is no equality in heaven among believers. Now, our God is a perfect God. He is a holy God. He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And since God is perfect, the inequality is a perfect inequality. This inequality is not discrimination. It's not unfairness, which some people associate with inequality. So, subpoint one. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity. Lost opportunity. You see, God has given every one of us equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life and glorify Him to the maximum. God has given us all equal privilege and equal opportunity to be winner believers. So inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity. Lost opportunity under the equal privilege and equal opportunity. One of you have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to advance all the way to spiritual maturity and glorify God to the maximum. You all, nobody's any better, any worse than anybody else. You have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity. To execute this fantastic grace plan that God has for our lives. Subpoint two. Inequality in the eternal state means the neglect of the spiritual freedom that God has given to you. Inequality in the eternal state means the neglect of the spiritual freedom that God has given to you. God has given you all this phenomenal spiritual freedom. First of all, positional freedom. In union with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Spirit. We're all entered into union with Christ. We have equal privilege and equal opportunity in union with Christ. We have the same fantastic grace blessings in union with Christ. That's positional freedom in union with Christ. That's the basis for walking in newness of life and living the spiritual life, Romans 6:4. And secondly, experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit gives you the experiential freedom, the power to live the spiritual life and grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you all have the same indwelling of the Spirit. And you all have the same base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. You have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to live the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So inequality in the eternal state means that you have neglected the spiritual freedom that God has given to you. Positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom, the filling of the Spirit. For God, in His grace, has provided enough spiritual freedom with equal privileges and equal opportunities so that there is no excuse for any believer failing to execute God's plan. This freedom to exercise your options and make decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is your responsibility as a believer. Freedom can always be measured by the amount of inequality that results. Societies and nations can be measured by this rule. God's plan provides the greatest freedom of all. Subpoint 3. Principle. The greater the freedom, the greater the inequality. The greater the freedom, the greater the inequality. Freedom equals inequality. Freedom equals inequality. 4. Having winners and losers in the eternal state does not imply that there will be any unhappiness in the eternal state. Having winners and losers in the eternal state does not imply that there will be any unhappiness in the eternal state. But there are degrees of happiness. There are degrees of happiness based on the great inequalities among believers. However, the distinctions and inequalities in eternity are so great that every single believer should seriously reconsider their motivations and their goals in life. Subpoint 5. You must live your life in the light of eternity, as unto the Lord, to please the Lord. You must live your life in the light of eternity, as unto the Lord, to please the Lord. The Lord has given us this unique spiritual life. He's given us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. He's giving us the teaching ministry of the Spirit so we can consistently and faithfully metabolize His Word and execute His plan, will, and purpose for our life. We please the Lord by growing up in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We please the Lord by having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. As Jesus Christ declared, the greatest of all the commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Together you have virtue love. Personal love for God the Father is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue and occupation with Jesus Christ. Subpoint 6. Regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, and we live in some pretty crappy historical circumstances right now. Regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether you are living under establishment freedom, and this is not what we have here, we happen to have in America establishment freedom, although our freedoms are being taken from us left and right. But regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether under establishment freedom or tyranny, you have full spiritual freedom in your very own unique spiritual life. And there are believers around the world living in tyranny. They're living in tyranny. And yet they have full spiritual freedom to live the unique spiritual life and glorify God, even when they're living under tyranny. So regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether under establishment freedom or tyranny, you have full spiritual freedom in your very own unique spiritual life. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom, experiential freedom, that Christ set us free, personal freedom, in union with Jesus Christ. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, starting at verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. The name singular of the living and true God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence, three in personality. Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, experiential freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Turn over to James 1:25. James 1:25. James 1:25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the perfect law that gives freedom, this is the Word of God, and continues to do this consistently and faithfully, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, executing it, he will be blessed in what he does. That's greater grace blessings poured out on him at the judgment seat of Christ. Then turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ by the law that gives freedom, the Word of God. Because judgment, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, that is, who has not lived the spiritual life and attained grace, orientation, and virtue love. Mercy, grace, orientation, and virtue love triumphs over judgment. So regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether under establishment freedom or tyranny, you have full spiritual freedom in your very own unique spiritual life. God has provided us with spiritual freedom. Positional freedom in union with Christ, experiential freedom through the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life, so that you can fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up. Grow up spiritually in grace, grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the freedom that is totally apart from any national or establishment freedom. Establishment freedom of a nation has nothing to do with this freedom. This is God's spiritual freedom He provides. No Republican, no Democrat, nobody can provide this freedom. Only God can provide this freedom. This is provided by God, not by politics, not by Democrats, not by Republicans, not by pedestrians. This is only provided by God. This is spiritual freedom, so that we can walk in newness of life and advance to spiritual maturity and become a winner believer and glorify God to the maximum. Subpoint 7. Therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, the first issue you will face in your resurrection body is how you use the spiritual freedom God has given you. Therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, the first issue you will face in your resurrection body is how you used the spiritual freedom that God has graciously given to you. So freedom means inequality in time and inequality in eternity. You are free to succeed. You are free to fail. You are free to stand and make your own decisions and motives and actions. Freedom means individual responsibility. God holds you responsible for the freedom He's given to you. And that will be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. God holds you responsible for the freedom He's given to you. Freedom means individual responsibility. Freedom means you have to make your own scale of values and your own priorities. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will be evaluated on how you used the freedom God has graciously given to you. Because having freedom means you must take responsibility for every decision you make, for all of your thoughts and all of your motivations and all of your actions. You must take responsibility. Freedom means some will take their volition and develop a system of true priorities, doctrinal priorities, and they will stick to them and organize their thoughts and their minds around the absolute truth of God's Word. However, others will depart from doctrinal priorities whenever they feel like it. It's not a big deal to them. Subpoint 8. Every one of you will answer for this use of your freedom to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the judgment seat of Christ. Not to me. Not to me. You will answer for this use of your freedom to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at the judgment seat of Christ. Subpoint 9. Believers who fail to live the spiritual life and wind up in cosmic living by the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, they lack 4 things. Believers who fail to live the spiritual life and wind up in cosmic living by the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred, they lack 4 things. First of all, they have no doctrinal standards. They have no doctrinal standards. They cannot distinguish God's plan for their life from Satan's cosmic system. They cannot distinguish God's plan for their life from Satan's cosmic system. Second, these believers have no effectiveness. No effectiveness. Their life has neither meaning, purpose, nor definition. Their life has neither meaning, purpose, nor definition. The cosmic believer cannot be distinguished from any unbeliever. And there are moral unbelievers than immoral unbelievers. And the cosmic believer cannot be distinguished from any unbeliever, moral or immoral. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is blasphemy and a disaster to your life. And this is why God so often punishes and disciplines, because we have to be brought to the end of our arrogance before we realize what is really important in life. Third, they have bad timing. They are not in sync with God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. They have bad timing. They are not in sync with God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. And therefore, this believer makes bad decisions from a position of weakness, from arrogance, and from personal ambition. He really has no control over his life, and he has no personal sense of destiny, and he is not living his life in the light of eternity. Fourth, they have no spiritual life. They have no spiritual life. They have no spiritual momentum. They have no virtue love. They do not love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They have no divine good production. They have no glorification of God. No spiritual life means no crown, no rewards, no decorations at the judgment seat of Christ. No glorification of God. Subpoint 10. Well, the believer cannot lose his salvation. As a loser believer living in the cosmic system, the privileges, the rewards, the crowns, the decorations that are given to the winner believers will never be his throughout all eternity. While the believer cannot lose his salvation, as a loser believer living in the cosmic system, the privileges, the crowns, the rewards, the decorations that are given to winner believers will never be his throughout all eternity. Point three in the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ is the time. The time of the judgment seat of Christ. When is this going to take place? Subpoint one. First of all, the rapture must take place, terminating the dispensation of the church age. We're living in the church age. First of all, this dispensation has to come to an end. It has to be terminated. And the termination of the church age is the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. So, first of all, the rapture must take place, terminating the dispensation of the church age and providing every church age believer with a resurrection body. Because we're going to be standing there at the judgment seat of Christ in our resurrection body. All church age believers, both alive and dead, will join Jesus Christ in the atmospheric heavens around planet Earth. That's the rapture, and the Greek word there is air. A-E-R. See, you thought air was A-I-R. No, A-E-R. Air. That's the atmospheric heavens around planet Earth. And that will take place at the rapture. It could happen anytime. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. Nobody knows when. It's signless and timeless. Personally, well, I think we're pretty damn close, frankly. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture was very soon, but I don't know when it is. And they don't, the idiots in California don't know either. They all put on gowns and go up on something, and I can't tell you how many idiots there are in California. There are a lot of idiots in Nevada, too, but they're all over America. All church-age believers, alive and dead, will join in the atmospheric heavens. No man knows the day nor the hour of the rapture. It is signless and it is timeless. Two major passages, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58, and then 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13, brethren, royal family of God, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, believers who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men, unbelievers who have no hope. Unbelievers have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him, believers in the church age who have died. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, royal family that have died before the rapture. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them, harpazo, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. A-E-R, atmospheric heaven. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, encourage one another with these doctrines. You know, right now we're a pain in the neck for all the liberals in this country. The rapture were to occur tonight, and we're all out of here, they will have a party. They will have a party because we're just a pain in the neck. And they will celebrate. I don't know what happened to all those idiot Christians, but they're gone. Well, they'll have a celebration for a little while. Turn over to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will decorate each winner believer according to what he has done. Now that word soon teaches the imminency of the rapture. For there is no prophecy left to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place. Revelation 22 verse 12 says that winner believers will receive their greater grace blessing for eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. Subpoint 2, under the time of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ does not immediately follow the rapture. It does not immediately follow the rapture. The first thing that happens after the rapture is an unprecedented worship of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Turn over to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. The first thing that happens after the rapture is an unprecedented worship of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9. Therefore also, God the Father has exalted him, God the Son, to the maximum. In fact, he has given him a royal title, which is superior to every royal title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That in the presence of the person of Christ, every knee in heaven shall bow. Both the ones on the earth, believers alive at the rapture, and the ones under the earth, dead believers at the rapture. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This unprecedented worship of Christ we call the big genuflex in the sky. The big genuflex in the sky. That's what happens immediately after the rapture. Three. So the rapture will be immediately followed by the great genuflex in the sky. Then after that, we have the judgment seat of Christ. So the rapture will be immediately followed by the great genuflex in the sky. Then, after that, we have the judgment seat of Christ. Subpoint four, the judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven. The judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven, while the tribulation is going on planet Earth. So the judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven while the tribulation, 7-year tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, will be going on planet Earth. Subpoint five. Then we return with Christ at his second advent to begin his millennial reign. Then we return with Christ at his second advent. He returns as the groom. We return as his bride. And he establishes his kingdom on earth, the wedding supper of the Lamb. 1,000 years celebration. All right. Well, that's a good start on the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. 3 points. Pretty good, huh? Next Wednesday, point four. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.